Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's your host, Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. Thank you for joining me. I have a lot of good information about how we can be healthier and happier, so stay tuned. One thing came up. There was just a meeting of the International Society for the Study of Fatty Acids and Lipids. Abbreviated, that's called ISFAL, and ISFAL just met in Las Vegas about a week ago. And there was a piece of elegant research that was presented that was basically aiming to find out if behavior could be improved by omega-3 supplementation in children. And they found that it was, but they also found something interesting with this study, which was that calming aggressive behavior in children actually benefits the whole family. So this was a very interesting finding, and what it said, what it addresses is the potential of omega-3 supplements to calm aggressive behavior in children, and that may also reduce the psychological aggression among adult caregivers who aren't even taking the supplements. So this is fascinating. It was an omega-3 product that was given to children, and they actually found that the adults that took care of those children were less aggressive to each other and in the family. So the study was done. It was reported. It was a combination of effort from the University of Massachusetts Lowell, the University of Pennsylvania, and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, and it was reported in the journal Aggressive Behavior. And what they found was improving a child's behavior through omega-3 supplementation can have long-term benefits to the family system as a whole. So improving a child's behavior lowers overall stress levels in the household, which leads to family members getting along better. And that does make perfect sense. Now, from the National Institutes of Health, and the co-author on the paper was someone that I'm friends with, Dr. Joseph Hiblin, and he presented the research during a symposium at the ISFAL Congress, and the attendees were very intrigued. So the researchers recruited 200 children and their caregivers to participate in a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, stratified group trial, and they were given an omega-3 supplement of 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 daily, and the placebo group got a similar drink without omega-3, and the supplement period, the intervention period, was 6 months, and the adult caregivers reported their interpartner relationships and also child-directed physical assault and psychological aggression at the start of the study and at the end of the 6-month intervention and again after 12 months. And what was indicated was that the omega-3 supplementation led to long-term reductions in psychological aggression. And the researchers also found a correlation between adult psychological aggression and improvements in child externalizing behavior scores. So these are positive and promising findings. And the researchers caution everyone that the levels of psychological aggression and physical assault in the participants were low to begin with. So these findings may not generalize to individuals who have more extensive or more severe partner violence history, but the benefits for both adults and children may be enhanced further if the adult caregivers also receive omega-3 supplements directly. Previous research by Dr. Hiblin has found that even in prison populations, giving omega-3 supplements reduces aggression and reduces violent interactions. So this would be consistent with research that has found that supplementing reduces aggression and reduces harmful behavior. Now, as an aside, there's also an issue with adolescents of self-harm in our culture today, with depression and anxiety leading to situations like cutting in children who are in middle school, high school, and even college age individuals. And omega-3 DHA has been associated with a reduction in self-harm in some of these age groups. So it certainly is important for us to pay attention to behavior in our family members and to realize that behavior can be impacted by nutrition. And if you are looking for easy method of getting 1,000 milligrams, that single gram dose of omega-3, a liquid fish oil, a higher potency liquid fish oil, is an easy way to do that. And these days, they are third-party tested, they are purified, they are distilled, and they're not fishy tasting. They taste like lemon or they taste like orange. And the company that sponsors my radio program, for whom I work, Carlson Laboratories, is famous for their liquid fish oils that are very potent, very pure, and don't taste fishy. So it isn't hard to incorporate them into a smoothie, for younger kids, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, for younger kids, over popcorn, and all they get is a little hint of lemon. It can go into a salad if people eat salad. It can be stirred into guacamole, hummus. There are so many ways to incorporate omega-3s into children's food so that you don't have that pushback of asking them to take a spoonful of oil. It's hard to get anyone to take a spoonful of oil because a mouthful of oil is not really something that is natural to us. But when we incorporate them into foods that we eat, stir them into yogurt or things like what I mentioned, guacamole, even salsa for chips and salsa, because a kid's dose, if you're looking for that 1 gram dose, is right at a teaspoonful of the liquids. So given that they're not fishy tasting and that they can completely vanish into something that you're serving at the table, there really shouldn't be a pushback. And I have had experience in my own family with adolescents who were struggling, who they themselves noticed in a matter of a few short weeks a big difference in the way that they were feeling when I started incorporating a teaspoon a day, or in more extreme cases, a tablespoon a day of these oils into the foods that they were eating. So this is really something that has practical application for anyone who has family members who are struggling with mood issues or have behavior issues. Now, an Australian study that also was presented at ISFAL told us that oral omega-3 intake may lower eye disease risk in healthy young adults with normal blood pressure. Diets rich in omega-3 fatty acids have been linked to a decreased risk in several types of diseases, including late-stage age-related macular degeneration. And previous studies have reported that insufficient omega-3 consumption predisposes individuals to eye diseases in older age, such as age-related macular degeneration, dry eye disease, and glaucoma. And glaucoma, the prevalence of that tends to rise progressively with age, and that's the world's second major cause of blindness, cataracts being the leading cause of blindness in areas of the world where they're not easily treated. For glaucoma, elevated intraocular eye pressure is a major modifiable risk factor, and eye pressure lowering agents are the first line therapy in treating glaucoma. With Western populations, the pressure increases with age. In traditional Japanese populations, the reverse is observed. That's where high dietary intake of omega-3s is commonplace. So no one had ever assessed the intraocular eye pressure in adults with normal blood pressure before. So the University of Melbourne did a study to see if oral omega-3 supplementation affected intraocular pressure in adults who did not have high blood pressure, and they found that it did. It was 1,000 milligrams of EPA and 500 milligrams of DHA, and the placebo was olive oil. And they saw a modest reduction, 8%, in the omega-3 group, and they saw that the pressure increased in the olive oil group. So this is an interesting use of omega-3 and something that we can just be happy about if we already are taking an omega-3 supplement anywhere more or less near those doses. So if you're taking omega-3 in order to just achieve an optimal or target level of omega-3 as measured by the omega-3 index, which I highly recommend that you do, then you're probably taking somewhere around 1,600, maybe 2,000 milligrams a day of EPA DHA, which is what's recommended to meet that 8% target. And if that's the case, then you're already on board with this benefit, which is a controlling, if you will, or a normalizing of intraocular eye pressure. And that is a good thing. In Western culture, that's not something that we see. So that is going to be protective for your eyesight as you get older, and that's a big benefit. Now, one more thing that I wanted to talk about before we go out to our first set of messages is music and heart health, which was a very interesting Harvard-affiliated finding. And you know that music may actually help to boost your health as well as your mood. Music engages your auditory system, but also many other parts of your brain, including areas responsible for movement, language, attention, memory, and emotion. There's a neurologic music therapist at Harvard that said there's no other stimulus on earth that simultaneously engages our brains as widely as music does. The global activation happens whether you listen to music, play an instrument, or sing, even informally in the car or the shower. So studies have found that listening to music can help you exercise longer during cardiac stress testing, can improve blood vessel function by relaxing arteries, can help heart rate and blood pressure levels return to baseline more quickly after physical exertion. Music can ease anxiety in heart attack survivors, and music can help people recovering from heart surgery to feel less pain and less anxiety. So it's an interesting thing. Listening to or creating music triggers the release of dopamine, which helps you feel engaged and motivated, and it controls your heart rate and your respiration. So turn on some good tunes today. This is Food for Thought. We're going out to a quick break. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right, Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.
No doubt you've heard a lot about the health benefits of vitamin D. Now you can get your vitamin D in a base of the healthiest omega-3s. Carlson Solar D Gems provides both. Carlson Solar D Gems provides 2,000 to 4,000 IU of all-natural vitamin D3, a vitamin that many people do not get enough of from the sun alone. In fact, many health experts are now claiming that most Americans are lacking in this important nutrient. Vitamin D3 plays an important role in bone, cardiovascular, and immune health. Plus, Carlson Solar D Gems also contains the important omega-3 oils that your body needs to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. The omega-3s support the absorption of the vitamin D. You get the benefits of both. Carlson Solar D Gems, vitamin D in a base of omega-3s. Look for Carlson Solar D Gems at your favorite natural food store today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root, and I can be, you can keep up with me during the week when I'm not on the air by visiting my blog, which is Red Wine, Green Tea, and Dark Chocolate, and all things that I admit to having some experience with. That is found at jolieblogs.com, JOLIEBLOGS.com. And one of the nutrients that I have had more than a passing interest in over the last several years because of research published and done by cardiologists that I greatly respect and other physicians that are really cutting-edge leaders in the field of integrative medicine, that nutrient is vitamin K, vitamin K2 to be specific. And there was an embargoed study that I can talk about freely now because the embargo was released on Wednesday that was just published. It was a pilot study in children looking at vitamin D and vitamin K. And the study was published in the journal Nutrients, which is an international peer-reviewed journal for studies related to human nutrition. And it had to do with children with and without low-energy fractures. So they were correlating a vitamin K2 deficiency and its impact on children's bone health. Well, this is a prestigious international journal. The publication of this study decreased levels of circulating carboxylated osteocalcin, that's a mouthful, in children with low energy fractures. It's significant because it adds to the growing body of evidence that vitamin K2 is a beneficial nutrient for both children and adults, and it reaffirms the real health benefits improving K2 status delivers. It shines a light on the impact of improving K2 status on children. And so I want to start by saying that it isn't hard to get K2. K2 is available as a supplement. It's tiny like vitamin D, so you can get it in a single drop dose. And one of the line expansions at Carlson over the last year has been to expand the already really popular Super Daily D3 line, which is a single drop dose of vitamin D that Carlson makes for children in 400 international units and even babies, but also for adults in doses ranging from 1,000 units per drop to 6,000 units per drop. Well, the line expansion has been to add vitamin K2 to the D3, so now you can get D3 and K2 in a single drop dose and even for babies and children. And so the author of this paper says that the population studies, the epidemiological evidence, indicates a disturbing growth in the number of cases of low-energy fractures in healthy children and adolescents. There are many risk factors that might contribute to this health concern, but among the leading in consideration are deficient or insufficient nutrition and nutrients, including calcium, vitamin D, and vitamin K. And the particular role of vitamin K2 has been highlighted in the literature in maintaining calcium homeostasis and a healthy skeletal system. So clinical research and population studies have shown a new paradigm for safe delivery of calcium that requires co-supplementation with vitamins D and K. So it can't be overstated the importance of every possible opportunity to advance nutrition awareness. And these findings are important because just 45 milligrams of vitamin K2 improves K status, increases the activation of osteocalcin, which is the K-dependent protein responsible for binding calcium to the bone mineral matrix and improving bone health. So it's not just enough to boost calcium levels. That's easy to do. You can take a calcium supplement. We have a delicious calcium and vitamin D3 gummy at Carlson that has 250 milligrams of calcium, and that's an awesome way for children and adolescents to get calcium if they're not big milk drinkers. It gives you the vitamin D right there along with the calcium, but the kids are going to need vitamin K also. I reported an observational study that looked at adolescent males and their vitamin K status and found that the group with the lowest vitamin K status actually had discernible left ventricular hypertrophy at higher rates than what is normal for the age group being males between the ages of 14 and 18. That's something that you see in middle-aged men, an enlargement of the left ventricle. This is the major pumping chamber of the heart. To have that kind of enlargement in children is alarming. And so vitamin K plays a number of different roles that are very important for health. And as a parent, I certainly recommend to other parents, to grandparents, understand vitamin K, understand the role that it plays, and take advantage of the ease of supplementing. 45 micrograms is a tiny, tiny amount. Again, one drop of this supplement. Now, there's evidence building on nutrition's role in preventing cognitive decline. This comes from the conference Nutrition 2018 in Boston. What they're saying is we're not worried about scurvy or beriberi. We're worried about optimal health. Nutritional steps for heart disease prevention are well known, but we need to do the same for reducing the risk of dementia. So this was a conference organized by the American Society for Nutrition. And the symposium that kicked off the conference was titled, Is Dementia the New Heart Disease? One of the scientists presenting there was from the Gene Meyer USDA Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University. What she said was, a lot of the risk factors for heart disease, which gets a lot of attention, are a lot of the same risk factors for dementia. So we're looking to bring attention to dementia and age-related cognitive decline and really consider how nutrition can have a role in that. With heart disease, we know if you lower your saturated fats, if you exercise and maintain a healthy body weight, if you increase the polyunsaturated fats, these are lifestyle factors that can make a difference to decrease the risk. Well, now we're recognizing that there are lifestyle changes to lower the risk of dementia, and that also includes nutrition. One factor that they looked at was lutein, a plant pigment part of the carotenoid family, and its role in the brain and coronary vessels. Lutein is preferentially taken up in the brain. And why is it among all these carotenoids that we find lutein in the brain? It's kind of interesting. Higher levels of lutein are related to better cognitive function. Lutein comes from egg yolks. This is one of the reasons why we keep stressing the fact that eggs are healthy. And you also get DHA from egg yolks. So, you know, if you're thinking not to eat eggs in order to be healthy, the lutein is in the yellowness of the egg yolk. The DHA is in the egg yolk as well if the chickens are fed well. So it is worth it to it's worth it to spend a little bit of extra money for those omega-3 eggs that are a little bit higher in nutritional value, even if it means that the dozen eggs is a dollar more or a couple of dollars more. There's a lot of bang for the buck in that higher priced egg, because the form of DHA that's in that egg yolk is called phospholipid DHA, and phospholipid DHA is taken up readily, crosses the blood-brain barrier, and is very nutritious. And so it's interesting that some of these whole foods play such a strong role in us aging in a healthy manner. Now, there's a food that is maybe on your plate, maybe on your plate this weekend, because it's the season for these, watermelon. And there are some good things to say about watermelon. For one thing, they're mostly water, which is why a cold, juicy slice of watermelon is so satisfying on a hot summer day. But they're also nutrient-dense. And one of the nutrients, the redder the better, is lycopene. This is another carotenoid antioxidant. It's the bright red pigment that gives these watermelons their beautiful color. A Finnish study found that men with the greatest level of lycopene in their blood had a 55% lower risk of stroke. So with watermelon, the redder the better for the lycopene, and it's also good for prostate protection because of lycopene and another watermelon nutrient called citrulline. So prostate health and erectile dysfunction, because of the lycopene and the citrulline. Lycopene plays a role in protecting against prostate cancer. That's one of the reasons why we talk about tomatoes being so healthy for men. Citrulline helps with mild to moderate erectile dysfunction by improving blood flow. And if you really want to make the most of getting these nutrients from the watermelon, eat the watermelon with a little bit of fat. Watermelon is a very rich source of beta-carotene, which is a plant pro-vitamin A. The body converts it to vitamin A. And vitamin A is fat-soluble, so make a summery salad this weekend with watermelon and a little bit of crumbled feta cheese and some minced fresh mint and maybe a fresh lime dressing to get the most nutritional value out of the watermelon and to really maximize your absorption of those carotenoids, the lycopene, the citrulline, and the beta-carotene, which are fat-soluble. The body needs a little bit of fat in order to best absorb those nutrients. So a little crumbled feta cheese on a watermelon salad to cool you off this weekend. I'm telling you, it's delicious and healthy. This is Food for Thought. I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Our brain is composed of millions of cells, diligently working, communicating, and providing the clear connections for our memory. Phosphatidylserine is a major component of brain and neural cells, and on the cutting edge of research. We find that by nourishing the body and mind with phosphatidylserine, we may be supporting clearer brain connections. Phosphatidylserine can generate, transmit, and participate in a variety of nerve impulses and brain functions, supporting our memory. Now, Carlson Laboratories offers phosphatidylserine in an easy-to-swallow soft gel. Carlson provides 100 milligrams of phosphatidylserine as a dietary ingredient to nourish the body and the mind. Available at finer health food stores, Carlson brings you the finest in natural vitamins, minerals, and specialty supplements. The choice is clear. Carlson Phosphatidylserine.
Do you have dry eyes? Try Moisturize by Carlson. Dry eyes is a common occurrence. The winter wind, bright sunlight, and searing heat can easily dry your eyes. The more you rub your eyes, the more irritated they become. Carlson's Moisturize provides important oils and nutrients needed for normal eye moisture. This complex formula taken internally provides GLA, EPA, DHA, antioxidants, and much, much more. Dry eyes? Try Moisturize by Carlson. Available at finer health food stores. Or call toll-free 1-888-234-5656.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. I am a nurse and a nutritionist, and I am the senior nutritionist and educator for Carlson Labs. And I am grateful to Carlson for having had me on the air for 30 years now. So this is a, you know, this has been a long run with Food for Thought, and here and there around the country. I have been on the air since 1987. Oh my gosh, that's a long time. So, you know, spreading the good news about nutrition. Hard to believe you could talk about nutrition for 30 years, but here we are, and there's still so much more. So I really appreciate Carlson for being committed to education and giving me a place to do something that I absolutely love to do. Vitamin D, I mentioned it previously with the relationship to vitamin K and calcium and bone density, but there was an interesting look at whether or not vitamin D status, low vitamin D status, whether or not that increased the risk of cognitive decline. So speaking a little bit earlier in the last segment about a lifestyle that prevents dementia, one of the considerations is whether or not vitamin D status is adequate. Mild cognitive impairment, which is the cognitive pathology that's somewhere between normal aging and dementia, is a feared beginning of a downward path for the aging population. Alzheimer's disease and dementia are two diseases that can be unbearable for both the person and their loved ones. With progressive memory loss and cognitive decline, the family can be affected in many ways. It's quite often the case that the family becomes the caregivers and has to support the person who's affected, and has to support that person with many different daily tasks of living. The family may also experience emotional distress and a lower quality of life. Cognitive decline, like most diseases, is believed to be caused by a combination of genetics and the environment. Thankfully, there are many preventative measures that we can take to hold on to cognition and reduce the risk of decline, and eating a healthy diet, exercising regularly, continuing to challenge your brain are among those measures, but so is maintaining optimal vitamin D levels. A recent meta-analysis was done of 26 studies that concluded that low vitamin D is a clear risk factor for developing dementia. Don't let this be you. Increasingly, people are looking for ways to prevent cognitive decline. Vitamin D not only helps to regulate gene expression, but it simultaneously targets several factors that lead to neurodegeneration through the immune system, through antioxidant function, through anti-ischemic actions, and the regulation of neurotrophic factors, so the production of neurotransmitters, including acetylcholine neurotransmitter, which is the memory neurotransmitter. That's another benefit of eggs, while I'm thinking about eggs again, that choline in eggs is one of the building blocks for acetylcholine, the neurotransmitter associated with memory. Vitamin D even plays a role in the clearance of beta amyloid, the misfolded protein that forms plaques in the Alzheimer's brain. So vitamin D has pervasive effects on both the peripheral and central nervous system. So these are mechanisms that explain how vitamin D deficiency may be involved in a host of neurological diseases, not just Alzheimer's and dementia, but also multiple sclerosis, autism, and several others. But this new study looked at the correlation between vitamin D levels and cognition. The cognition was measured using the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. Those scores can be anywhere from 0 to 30, and lower than 25 is considered mild cognitive impairment. Researchers in the study hypothesized that low serum vitamin D levels would be associated with low Montreal Cognitive Assessment scores. They also assessed cardiorespiratory fitness to confirm that it plays a role as well. So this was done at the Cooper Clinic in Dallas, Texas. I have been a visitor there. Dr. Kenneth Cooper is the doctor that famously coined the term aerobics and taught us about aerobic fitness. So this is why they would assess cardiorespiratory fitness in this study. They evaluated the participants' vitamin D levels at baseline. They assessed the memory and executive function using the Montreal cognitive assessment scores. Serum vitamin D levels below 30 nanograms per milliliter were considered low. They measured cardiorespiratory fitness. That was defined as the duration of a maximal treadmill exercise test. They found a significant association of low levels of vitamin D and low Montreal cognitive assessment scores. Even a moderately low vitamin D level of 25 nanograms per milliliter was linked with a low cognitive assessment score, and the cardiorespiratory fitness contributed to a bigger chance of having a low cognitive score as well. So you want to make sure that you're above 30 nanograms per milliliter, and that's probably going to take a minimum of 4,000 to 5,000 units of vitamin D daily, and you want to stay on that. You want to stay on that forever, long term. Make sure that you're getting adequate vitamin D. And then when you see your doctor, if you get blood work once a year, get your level tested. If it's not part of the routine metabolic panel that your doctor orders, check and make sure that it is going to be. You know, when you're there for that appointment, that's on the list. Can I get my vitamin D level tested? Is that part of your panel? If you're on Medicare, Medicare pays for it because of the association with bone issues, fracture issues, fall risk, muscle health. They ought to pay for it for this. They ought to pay for it for cognitive function. There was a controlled trial in the Journal of Experimental Gerontology that concluded that visuospatial memory was enhanced with higher doses of vitamin D supplementation. Now, the Vitamin D Council recommends adults supplement with a level between 5,000 and 10,000 units of vitamin D3 daily. Higher doses show that vitamin D can help to improve cognition, so it's easy to get. It's very inexpensive, vitamin D, and I think it's very important for the healthy aging of our brain. And another thing, vitamin D deficiency significantly increases diabetes risk, according to a new study. And this is an ever-growing epidemic in our society. We estimate that there are 30 million people diagnosed with diabetes in the United States alone, and there are millions more that don't know. So, you know, dietary adjustments, meditation requirements, there are dangerous health consequences of improper disease management. So diabetes causes an emotional burden. It's an economic and physical burden for individuals who have the disease and also their loved ones. There are modifiable factors, healthy eating habits, exercising regularly. I sound like a broken record. But also vitamin D. Vitamin D may play an important role in helping your body maintain healthy blood sugar levels because vitamin D regulates pancreatic beta cell function. In the pancreas, the beta cells produce insulin. So vitamin D can regulate the beta cell function, insulin levels, and also inflammation. And inflammation is a precursor to diabetes. So they took a look at whether or not vitamin D status was a predictor of prediabetes and type 2 diabetes, and it was. It was. Those with low vitamin D levels had a threefold increased odds, triple the risk of developing prediabetes, and quintuple the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And low vitamin D status was an independent predictor for impaired insulin sensitivity over the period of 4 years. Again, don't let yourself be in a low vitamin D status situation. Now, another thing that is related to vitamin D is hypertension. Vitamin D helps with omega-3s in helping the body to maintain blood pressure in the normal range, and a recent study has found a link between hypertension and dementia. Patients with high blood pressure are at a higher risk of developing dementia. And this research also showed for the first time that an MRI can be used to detect very early signatures of neurological damage in people with high blood pressure before any symptoms of dementia occur. Generally, treatment of dementia starts only after symptoms are clearly evident. But we are increasingly clear that when signs of brain damage have manifested, it may be too late to reverse the neurodegenerative process. So what we need is a way to determine early risk, pre-symptomatic alterations to identify people that are at risk of developing dementia. So this is fascinating that there is a link between hypertension and alterations in white matter brain changes, and that is detectable with MRI. So making sure that we don't have high blood pressure is another way of protecting the brain as we get older and ensuring that we're sharp as elderly people. This is Food for Thought. Giving you a lot to think about today, and we will be right back after these messages.
Why is vitamin D so important? Because it supports and promotes calcium absorption, healthy bones, healthy mood, cardiovascular health, and a healthy immune system. Are you getting enough vitamin D? It's important to us. Carlson features many products with vitamin D, including vitamin D soft gelatin capsules, liquid drops, and vitamin D in combination with fish oils. Carlson provides natural vitamin D3 to support healthy body levels of vitamin D. Ask for Carlson vitamin D at finer health food stores today. Or go to CarlsonLabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson is an easy way to get your vitamin D. Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. And I want to talk a little bit about vitamin B12 in this segment, and then if we have time, some vitamin C. B12 is something that also helps to protect cognition as we get older. It was an interesting lecture that I was at about 25 years ago in Seattle at a conference, and Dr. Alan Gaby was describing a situation where he had had a family friend. It was actually a good friend of his father's who was in a nursing care facility and was exhibiting some pretty high level of confusion and altered mental state, and it had been something that had been developing over time, but they were concerned, the family was concerned, because the care facility wanted to put him on some pretty dramatic medications that had a lot of side effects. And so Dr. Gaby is a medical doctor, but a genius when it comes to nutrition. And he got the facility to allow him to treat the patient with injectable B12, and the man came out of it. It was a critical, and Dr. Gaby had looked at the gentleman's blood work and had seen some evidence that would hint that, looking at red blood cell count and hemoglobin, et cetera, and it would hint that he had a B12 anemia, a pretty advanced one. So it seemed miraculous, but it hinted at the importance of B12. B12 is also known as cobalamin. It's an essential vitamin that your body needs, but you can't produce it. But it's found in animal products. It's also added to certain foods, and it's available as an oral supplement or an injection. And B12 has a lot of roles in the body. It supports the normal function of your nerve cells. It's necessary for cognitive processing, and it's needed for red blood cell formation and even the production of DNA. We only need microgram amounts of B12 on a daily basis, but sometimes we don't get it. And it benefits your body in impressive ways. It can help with energy. We have seen in adults B12 improving memory, and it may even help to prevent heart disease. When you have very low levels of vitamin B12, you might have elevations of a substance called homocysteine, which really attacks the lining of blood vessels. So that's where the heart disease connection comes in. But B12 helps with red blood cell formation and anemia prevention. So we can't really produce the red blood cells that we need to if we have low vitamin B12 levels. We get a reduction in red blood cell formation, and they don't develop properly. Healthy red blood cells are small and round, and they become larger and oval in cases of B12 deficiency. And when they're large and irregularly shaped, those red blood cells can't move from the bone marrow into the bloodstream at an appropriate rate. And the name of this condition is megaloblastic anemia. When you're anemic, your body doesn't have enough red blood cells to transport oxygen to all of your vital organs. So you have fatigue and weakness. Adequate B12 is crucial for a healthy pregnancy. The fetus's brain and nervous system require sufficient B12 levels from the mom to develop properly. And a B12 deficiency in the beginning stages of pregnancy increase the risk of birth defects. So think B12 and folic acid, not just folic acid. Maternal B12 deficiency can contribute to a premature birth or even a miscarriage. Women with B12 levels that are lower than 250 milligrams per deciliter are triple more likely to give birth to a child with birth defects. If the level drops to below 150 milligrams per deciliter, the risk is quintuple. You want normal levels of B12. That's key to a healthy pregnancy. B12 may also support your bone health. In one study with adults, people with a B12 deficiency also had lower than normal bone mineral density. That leads to fragile, delicate bones, fractures, osteoporosis. There have been links that show a link between low B12 and poor bone health. B12 actually helps with macular degeneration. And that's through that mechanism that I mentioned with homocysteine. Maintaining adequate levels of B12 can help to lower homocysteine. That's an amino acid that's found in your bloodstream. Elevated homocysteine levels have been associated with an increased risk of age-related macular degeneration. In elderly women, not even elderly, in women above the age of 40, my profound apologies to all of us who are between, say, 40 and 65 that I lumped you into elderly. You're not. You're not. I'm almost there, though. Anyway, this study with 5,000 women 40 or older concluded that supplementing with vitamin B12 along with folic acid and vitamin B6 can help to reduce this risk. That's because those are methyl donors and they help to make homocysteine go ahead and metabolize into cysteine and then glutathione rather than remaining as homocysteine injurious to the blood vessels and other tissues in the body. So women that got B12, folic acid, and vitamin B6 for 7 years had fewer cases of macular degeneration. So this is important. B12 may improve mood and symptoms of depression. We're not absolutely certain, but the vitamin plays a role in the production and metabolism of serotonin. So that might be a way, because serotonin is the neurotransmitter most responsible for regulating mood. So B12 deficiency may lead to decreased serotonin production, which can cause a depressed mood. Oh, by the way, omega-3 and vitamin D, activated vitamin D as the vitamin D hormone, calcitriol, plays a role in activating the enzyme tryptophan hydroxylase in the brain. Tryptophan, the amino acid, is necessary to metabolize into serotonin, but that happens through the function of tryptophan hydroxylase, and vitamin D calcitriol activates tryptophan hydroxylase. Omega-3, that role is more in the receptor function of the serotonin receptors. So vitamin B12, vitamin D, and omega-3 are necessary for serotonin function in the brain. Studies support the use of B12 supplements for improving symptoms of depression in people who are deficient in B12. So another study found that vitamin B12 deficiency was associated with double the risk of severe depression. So B12 also may help your brain by preventing the loss of neurons. B12 deficiency has been associated with memory loss, especially in older adults. And the vitamin may be playing a role in preventing brain atrophy. That's the loss of neurons in the brain, and that's often associated with memory loss or dementia. One study in people with early stage dementia showed that a combination of vitamin B12 and omega-3 fatty acid supplements slowed mental decline. And another study found that even B12 levels on the low side of normal contributed to poor memory performance. So you might consider supplementing with B12 even in the absence of a clinically diagnosed deficiency. Now, I want to say something also about energy. All the B vitamins play a role in the body's energy production. It's not that they provide energy, but they play a role in the production of ATP. And for some people, taking a B-complex supplement may not have a noticeable impact. And if you're measuring B12 levels and you're taking cyanocobalamin supplement, which is typically the kind of B12 that's found in supplements, and you don't see a change in your B12 level after, say, 3 months or 6 months, consider switching to the methyl form, a methyl cobalamin form of B12, because there are roughly half of us that have a genetic situation that makes it difficult for us to utilize non-methylated forms of the B vitamins. And we don't know who we are unless we've had that testing, the MTHFR. So you might want to look for the methyl B12, the methyl folate, highly utilizable forms of B12 and folate in order to ensure that you're getting the maximum. So there's just so many benefits with B12, you don't want to have low levels. And that's it. I'm out of time. I really thank you for any of the time that you shared with me today, and I appreciate you so much for giving me an audience. I will be back again next week with another edition of Food for Thought, and in the meantime, stay healthy and stay happy.
You've been listening to Food for Thought with Jolie Root, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Tune in again next time as Jolie Root sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought, Fridays at 10 a.m. on 1160 WVNJ.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are solely those of the host and not necessarily those of the station, its ownership, management, or staff.